Today is the first anniversary of the deadliest attack against Israel since the state's establishment in 1948. On October 7th, 2023, 1,200 people were killed in the Hamas-led attacks and more than 250 hostages were taken. A year later, a devastating war, now on multiple fronts, continues. Within Israel, there's also an ongoing public debate about whether the Israeli military responses since October 7th are justified and whether Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is the right person to lead the country. For more on this part of the story, we reached Jamie Levin. He's an associate professor of political science and, at St. Francis Xavier University.
Good morning.
Thank you for doing this. Now, Benjamin Netanyahu is a prime minister at war, well, in the context of a coalition government as it is. Can you walk us through the politics of that situation?
The Israeli political system requires coalitions. No prime minister in the country's history, and that includes Netanyahu, has ever enjoyed a majority in the Knesset, the Israeli parliament. And that's due to the idiosyncratic proportional representation system they have there. Now, on the one hand, that system is far more inclusive, far more diverse than Canada's first-past-the-post system. But on the other hand, every government has to be painstakingly cobbled together one seat at a time from a wide array of parties to get to 61 seats or 51%. That also makes the Israeli system very brittle. Small parties can demand disproportionate power for their support and threaten to leave and bring down the government if they don't get it. And Netanyahu has been no exception here. He's held a slender majority since 2022, comprised of a fractious coalition of ultra-rightist and ultra-nationalist and ultra-religious parties. Not to mention the charges of corruption that he faces domestically and the looming threat of an indictment from the International Criminal Court. In other words, Netanyahu remains on thin ice. But if the events of recent days, and here I'm thinking about the attacks on Hezbollah by Israel and the Iranian ballistic missile attacks against Israel, I think are likely to improve things for Netanyahu.
Okay, that's interesting. I wanted to get into that. Like, how do you see domestic public support, in particular for this war or wars, depending on how you look at it, that Netanyahu has expanded now to multiple fronts and countries?
Well, so the attacks of October 7th were probably the single greatest challenge to the popularity of Netanyahu in his long and storied political career. He has long presented as quote-unquote Mr. Security, but October 7th was easily the biggest security breach in Israel's history, and that happened on his watch. After that attack, centrist parties joined the coalition in a show of national unity, but disagreements on how to prosecute the war ultimately led to their departure. That was back in June, and it once again left Netanyahu with a narrow coalition. It left him beholden to his ultra-rightist and ultra-religious flanks. Israelis, by and large, do not approve of Netanyahu's handling of the Gaza war. They want a ceasefire. They want the remaining Israeli hostages held by Hamas returned, and they want a plan for the day after. They don't want a forever war. They're sensitive to Israel's international standing. They don't want a permanent Israeli reoccupation of the Gaza Strip, which would involve persistent casualties. And in the main, they don't want the reestablishment of settlements there either. But Netanyahu has managed to turn things around in the past few weeks. He's promised